Local Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. On the Wednesday before New Year's, 2022, we are combining announcements of holiday events with nostalgia from past New Year's. COVID put a damper on celebrations for 2021, so we're digging into the archives to connect with our past. My usual co-hosts can't even Zoom in this year, but their presence will still enliven our show. So I'll start with Paul Wearson introducing our listeners to Hawk McIntyre back in 2014. Since then, Hawk has become nationally known, culminating in a performance on NBC's The Voice. Let's listen to a cut from the first CD by Boone, singer-songwriter and guitar player Hawk McIntyre, performing She Talks to Angels by Black Crowes.
She keeps a lock of hair in her pocket. She wears a cross around her neck. Yeah, the hair is from a little boy, and the cross is someone she has not met. Not yet. She says she talks to angels, says they call her out by her name. Oh yeah, she talks to angels, says they call her out by her name. She don't know no lover, no one that I ever seen. And to her, that don't mean nothing, but to me, yeah, me means everything. Paints her eyes as black as a night now, and pulls them shades down tight. She gives a smile when the pain comes. Pain gonna make everything alright. She says she talks to angels, says they call her out by her name. Oh yeah, she talks to angels, says they call her out by her name. She says she talks to angels, says they call her out by her name. Oh,
that was She Talks to Angels, written by Black Crowes and played by Hawk McIntyre, who will be our next guest. This is KHOI Community Radio 89.1, Story City, Ames, and the surrounding area. And this is our New Year's Eve preview, especially for those of you who would like a sampler of what's going on around the county, as well as in Ames. And now we have two guests from Boone and Paul Wearson. Could you introduce them and talk to them?
Well, thank you very much. And this is going to be fun for me because I just love his music. It's just fantastic. Our guests are Hawk McIntyre and his manager and father, Jeremy. Welcome to both of you today.
Thank you.
And we're just going to talk a little bit about how things got started for Hawk. Hawk, tell everyone how old you are.
I'm 15 years old.
Yeah, he's 15 years old. He's already had several gigs around the county. And how long have you been playing music?
probably for about 5 years now, professionally, playing around gigs and stuff.
And you're pretty busy. You've been at the BAM Bookstore on December 20th, Boone Southside at 8 on the 27th. Now, on New Year's Eve night, tonight, you're going to be at Toby Kay's Hideaway. Tell me about that gig. What time does it go on?
It goes on at 10 o'clock, and we're basically playing at 10 o'clock because that's when the separate people come in, you know, and we just want to have fun and make people happy there.
And you're going to be at the Lucky Pig in Ogden coming on January 17th, so
yep.
You have bookings into the future. And Jeremy, tell me how this all came together. This is your son, Hawk, at the age of 15. You'd be a student at Boone High School, right?
Yeah.
Tell me the sequence of events here. How did Hawk get started?
When Hawk was little, he's always been into music, and before he could walk, he's plucking away on a garage sale keyboard and could put music together. And I was surprised, but didn't think a whole lot because I thought maybe everybody could kind of do that. But as he went, and we'd go to different places, and somebody would want him to sing Somewhere Over the Rainbow and things like that as he grew up. And he would sneak into my closet and play my guitar he wasn't supposed to touch. And I knew most times he was doing it, and I just let him do it. But still said it was off limits. And then probably 9 or 10, I showed him a few things on the guitar and walked away and went in the kitchen to make his supper or whatever. He thickened out the song, stuff that I didn't teach him about the song. I taught him maybe the first couple strings that was amazing. Then I knew, he's going somewhere with this. And took him a couple guitar lessons past me, and probably after maybe a few guitar lessons, I think he did his first Pavilion Jam show and sang 3 or 4 songs and played them with a band, and he was raising money for food pantry in Boone.
Well, you know, that's great because you sort of brought him along at a pace that's comfortable with him. And when did you finally start to feel comfortable in front of an audience, Hawk? Was that immediate or what?
Yeah, that was immediate. I've always felt comfortable in front of people. I've always started performing for my family, and we just kind of went on from there, just on stage.
So gradually you become more and more accustomed to it.
Yep.
But your dad has a great story about when you were a baby. You just told me that.
Oh.
Tell us about Chattanooga Choo Choo. I like that.
He had this flower pot that you pushed the button and the flowers would dance, and it had that old band music song on it. And if you played that anywhere in the house, even if he was sleeping, if somebody accidentally hit the button clear across the house, he'd be up in his crib and holding on. He just loved that song.
So he was musical. Just by instinct. And I had a brother like that. My brother could play by ear the piano at age 3. And so there's something about musical talent that's so endemic to the person that it expresses itself just because it has to happen. You know,
yeah.
It's part of their being. And it sounds like, Hawk, that's what happened to you, that
yeah.
You were instantly like music and you were comfortable with it. Now, in school, you sang in... everyone in school sings in the chorus. Did you do that sort of thing in school?
No, I haven't done that.
So you skipped that whole
yeah.
project and went right to professional.
Yeah.
When I think it was 5th and 6th grade, I think you're required. I think it was like the chorus.
Yeah, you were required to be in chorus.
And, yeah. And so one of the times he had the full audience, they had him come down with his guitar, and all the students would sat on their bleacher on the benches, and he played to everybody. It was a Sugar Land song or something.
But he
played by himself, and so that was nice that Boone could recognize, brought that out, and let a student.
And he was the star of the evening.
Yeah.
No one expected that. Was that a good moment for you, Hawk?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. You remember that forever, won't
mm-hmm.
you? Now, how would you describe your music? What did we do folk, rock, country? How would you describe your music?
I really love the blues. I play everywhere from Lady Gaga to Garth Brooks to Johnny Cash, Elvis Presley.
So how long can you entertain a group of people? Can you do a couple of hours?
Yeah, this next gig at Toby K's, I'm going to be playing for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And that's all the strain I want to put on my vocals for now.
One after that will be 3, but we'll try to have some intermissions.
Yeah.
A vocalist when you play with the band, you can last a lot longer because you have a lot of fillers. But when you're doing basically the bass, the rhythm, the lead, and all your vocals, it can really wear. And since he's young, I wouldn't want him to wreck that.
Well, you have a band, don't you? How many folks play with you?
Well, I have Matt Malin playing on lead guitar for me, and then I have Rick Sutterberg playing the drums. So
we're just putting that together now. He's never played, except for Matt came on stage for 3 songs this last couple shows, and it turned out really, really good. But otherwise, it's all Hawk. We're trying to put more, because he has a lot more fun when other people are up on stage with him.
So are all your band members from Boone, too?
Yep.
And when you were saying where Toby Kaye's Hideaway was, it's so well hidden away that if you don't live in Boone, you might not know. You have to go to Boone to go there.
Well, it's on the main drag. It's on Mamie Eisenhower. Is there a big sign or what?
There's a sign.
There's a sign. It's not real big. Great food there, too.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, now you're telling me, though, that you expect a full house just back to back.
Yeah.
So you're going to be very crowded on New Year's Eve, and so you know you have a good audience.
We hope so.
Now, will your band be with you?
No, not on this one. Solo Matt Malin will be playing.
Yeah, he'll play 3 or 4 songs, and he'll do electric. Sometimes Hawk picks up a dobro and the resonator guitar and do some of the blues, and then Matt will cut through it with the electric, and it's a real neat sound.
Well, it sounds like you're really doing a professional job already. Now, how are you out there now? You have a logo, and I'll describe to the radio audience, it's a guitar, and on top of and amalgamated into the guitar is a hawk with a spread wings, and a hawk logo. It says Hawk there, and it's beautiful. Your dad's wearing the T-shirt, and there's merchandise available, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. So every big band has a logo, merchandising, and they're touring and their performance.
Yeah.
And right now, the record industry is a lot different than it used to be. And it's a lot more accessible to the artist. And you could be on the Internet. And how does someone reach your music on the Internet?
We have a YouTube channel. You can just type in Hawk McIntyre and see all. I have a lot of DMACC stuff on there that I've done. Mm-hmm. And I have a Facebook fan page, Hawk McIntyre, and you can keep up with all the stuff, keep up to date.
So Hawk McIntyre, and you got to spell that, McIntyre.
Yep.
And Hawk, just like the name of the bird, so it's Hawk McIntyre. And I really like your logo. It's white on black on your dad's shirt, and you have sort of the same thing, or it looks like.
Yeah, it's kind of a wing. Yeah. I have wings on my shirt.
And your name is Hawk.
Yep.
This is not a slang name or a stage name.
No.
It's Hawk.
Yeah.
And what happened in kindergarten when you announced that your name was Hawk? Do you remember that day?
All the girls would swoon.
It's always a natural star.
Yeah.
It's always funny when the birds go over and they go, cock, cock. You know how they sound? He used to look at them and go, what, what?
No, I can't imagine that. You know, when someone has a name Hawk on the stage, you assume that was an assumed genre or persona, and you were named Hawk. And so what's your favorite song that you've ever played? You have a favorite?
That's hard to choose. I have a lot of favorite songs.
Are there songs that you yourself have written?
Yeah, me and my dad have written one lately. We finished it. We've been working on it for a while, but we just finished it lately.
What's it called?
Picasso.
And that's still in the process of being put together.
We put it together now, and we played it at the South Side.
We played it once, we're still in the process of getting copyrighted.
Oh yeah, be sure and do that, because people cover that, they have to pay you, But I think you're going to play some music for us
today. That's right. Yep. What are you going to play?
My first one is going to be Pride and Joy by Steve Ray Vaughan.
Okay.
Here we go. Hawk McIntyre, everybody.
To the black.
pride and joy. She's my sweet little baby. I'm just a little lover boy. Yeah, I love my baby like the finest wine. Stick with her until the end of time. She's my sweet little thing. She's my pride and joy. She's my sweet little baby. I'm just a little lover boy.
Imagine a whole room full of people applauding and taking a bow, and several girls screaming in the front row. And then in our small studio here in Ames, I just had a sort of a feeling like it was a flashback. We were at Sun Records, and Elvis walked in and cut his first thing. And when they do the movie on Hawk, someone will have to play me as the person.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, because this is your first radio interview, so I guess it's the first time. Is it the first time you've played live on the radio?
It will be in the movie. I'll be dead then, but we'll be in the movie.
Well, we've been asking the other places they're having New Year's Eve shows what they're going to do at midnight. So what's your plan?
I plan to sing the New Year's song and try to sing along with the crowd.
Old Lang Syne.
The Old Lang Syne, yeah.
Oh, wow.
There won't be a dry eye in the house.
Well, can you play it without the crowd? Could you play on Old Lang Syne for us?
Oh,
Started this morning.
Just started. Okay.
Yeah, it's one that we talked about when we were going to throw in. His song set, sometimes it's at the last minute. He decides and this is probably the artist in him, why don't I change this song to and switch it up and make it blues? And I, as a manager and father, I get nervous. I'm like, no, just stick to what you got.
He doesn't want me to change it at the last minute.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got it.
Yeah, and then he usually pulls it off. But
so anybody who wants to hear Hawk McIntyre playing Auld Lang Syne is going to have to go to Toby K's on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
But I'm just watching your fingers with the strings, and I'm just so amazed at, I came from the rock, the folk music era, and a lot of people in the dorms played guitar, but they were chording, you know.
Yeah.
And that's just plain basic to you. You were doing all kinds of stuff there. I'm just in awe of you about being able to do that. And good to have a close-up look at what your fingers do when you play the music. And the best thing is you have a manager who cares about you.
Yeah.
He's not going to exploit you or – you wouldn't do that, would you?
No, I'm a manager and a roadie. And
and a father.
Yeah.
Well, you'll keep him in line on the tour, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
A bed check at the Hilton Hotel.
Or he'll keep me in line.
Sounds like a good partnership to me for the permanent long haul, you know.
Well, before you go, could you play another song for us?
Yeah. This next one's going to be by Etta James. It's called Rather Go Blind.
Something told me it was over when I saw you and that boy talking. Something deep down in my soul said, cry, boy, when I saw you and that boy walking. So you see, I love you so much that I don't wanna watch you leave me, baby. Most of all, I just don't wanna be free now. I was just sitting here thinking about your kiss and your warm embrace, child. Oh, when the reflection in the glass that I held to my lips, now baby, reveal the tears that was on my face. And baby, I'd rather go blind, girl, and to see you walk away from me. And baby, I'd rather go blind, girl,
thank you very much, Hawk. Jeremy, you must be proud of that.
Yeah, I am. I get lost sometimes. Just I hear him hundreds and hundreds of hours, and I still get lost in it when he sings and plays.
And, you know, it's fun to watch something at the beginning when you make decisions and choices about how to market Hawk and what kind of venues you want him to play in and the things that happen off the Internet. You know, the music business, when I was in radio way back when, you had to have a national or a big record contract. And now you can be exposed on the Internet, get a following. Yep. And
for free.
And then you might end up touring a lot.
Yeah.
And that would be a dream, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But I think the main thing is word of mouth and exposure on the Internet and taking the right venues. You might have a fan club building up there. Watch that Facebook site. That might be fun, too.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that Jeremy was telling me about was the choice of lyrics. And you know, many musicians, if you go on iTunes, you'll see they have their regular version, and then they'll have a clean version. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, is this an issue for Hawk? And what would you say to that?
It depends on the place. We usually don't use vulgar language because you hit a bigger crowd if you don't. You don't want kids hearing you do that kind of stuff, you know.
And even in a bar atmosphere, and there's some songs that he would love to do. Musically, it's great, but it has some words, and if we can't change the words and it still fits the beat, then we have to leave it out. So you think even a bar, yeah, they've all heard it, but people are pulling out their phones and taping, and like a 11-year-old boy in Ohio that wanted Hawk merchandise for Christmas, I don't really want him to see, you know, what he might be looking up to, see him say, you know, bad words and stuff like that. So it's not that we're just
want to be
totally
influence.
Against it. Yeah, but it's an influence thing.
So you're a role model.
Yeah, in some ways, yeah.
Well, if a little girl comes up, Mom, can I go to a Hawk concert? Well, yes, you can, because I'm assured he's a nice boy.
Yeah.
Well, that certainly was part of Elvis's image when he began. Yep. You know, he's a boy from the South that sang gospel music and later got into rock and roll and that sort of thing. But there's something to be said for having more of a universal appeal and a chance to play, especially when you're starting a variety of venues. You don't want to be rated R right away, but you definitely want to be exposed to a lot of venues, and it's our honor today to have you as our radio interview.
Thanks for having me.
Paul just introduced us to Boone's teenage singer-songwriter Hank McIntyre when he was starting his career in 2014. To bring us up to the present, with a celebration for our youngest residents, we have Danielle Ziegler telling us about New Year's Eve party.
We are having a New Year's Eve party. It should be really fun this year. So it is a youth services program. So it's for families and children of all ages. But I would say it's really meant for like preschool and elementary age. But, you know, everyone is welcome. And it will start at 11 on Friday, the 31st. It'll be in our auditorium here at the library. It'll start at 11, and we'll have some different New Year's crafts and some games set up for people to play, maybe a photo booth for people to take some pictures. And then when it gets a little bit closer to noon, we'll have a dance party. And also we'll have a countdown and a little toast at noon, either sparkling apple cider.
Well, that sounds really fun. And the countdown, too.
I don't know about anyone else's children out there, but I have an 8- and a 5-year-old. And although they tell me they're staying up this year, so this is just a fun way for kids and families to get to celebrate the countdown and maybe having a toast and a little bit of a party without maybe having to stay up till midnight.
Oh, so what's the music for your dance?
It's going to be a combination of adult music and children's music. I kind of alternate between children's songs that have some fun actions as well as maybe classic and fun, you know, all ages pop songs. For example, I usually have Rock Around the Clock on there and stuff like, and as well as I think I've had Party in the USA by Miley Cyrus over the years. So it's just some fun dance music.
How many years have you been doing Noon Year?
I want to say this is going to be my fourth year, either third or fourth. We did it last year over Zoom, of course. People were able to participate, you know, through Zoom last year. But we've done it a few other times in our auditorium in person. Come on down, drop in anytime between 11 and 12. Don't feel you have to come right at 11. We're not, it's completely a drop-in. Just drop on in with your kiddos and have some fun celebrating 2022.
And have a great party.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This is KHOI Community Radio, where we are sharing the way people in Central Iowa are celebrating New Year's Eve. I am your host, Susan Franzen, with the help of Paul Wearson's voice from the archives and Gina McAndrews calling in her memories from Colorado, where she's spending New Year's with her parents. For the second half of our program, we're celebrating with dance music as John Giroux from the High Society Big Band updates us about the traditional Red Friars New Year's dance at the Moose Lodge in Ames. The same band serves as the soundtrack for our visit to the Lake Robbins Ballroom as Gina McAndrews guides us through this historic dance hall.
One of our favorite dance bands is High Society Big Band, and I understand they're playing again this New Year's at their traditional place, the Moose Lodge, and I have someone here to tell us about what's going on there.
Yes, indeed, you're correct. My name is John Giroux, and I am with the High Society Big Band, and we are back this year at the Moose Lodge and our annual appearance there on behalf of the Red Friars Dance Club, which is a group there in Ames that we are we perform for their private dances quite often. This, however, is a public occasion that anyone can come to. And it's a little earlier for those that don't like quite being out till midnight. It starts at 8 o'clock. Probably wrap up about 11:15 there on Friday night, the 31st.
Well, I assume that you do stick around for a champagne toast at midnight for those people who were...
Well, they do the champagne toast at 11 o'clock, as a matter of fact, and that way people can get home before there's too many folks out there that have had too many champagne toasts. It's 8 to 11, about 11:15 is when they wrap up, and they kind of do the countdown for the East Coast New Year there at 11 o'clock, and anyone that would like to go can just show up at the door there that night.
Well, is there a dinner this year?
There is not a dinner. There's some hors d'oeuvres, and there is a champagne toast at 11, and there are some party favors and so forth, but no dinner.
Now, are there any changes that you had to make for COVID, either that last year or this year?
Yes. Well, it was canceled last year due to COVID. It kept everybody safe and at home last year. So that makes it extra exciting this year that we're back on the schedule. No changes this year. Obviously, feel more comfortable wearing a mask or something of that nature. Certainly welcome to do so, but there are no particular requirements at this time.
Okay. Well, is there anything else that our listeners should know?
Well, just that they should come prepared to have a good time. We like to have a good time. It's good, clean fun. And even if you don't like to dance or don't think you're a particularly talented dancer, it's fun to watch those that are dancing and showing off their skills.
And the High Society Big Band is truly a big band. You've got 15 members, right?
Exactly, a big band in the traditional sense. So you'll get that true big band sound of the big band era.
Now, what is the phone number to call to get? People don't need to make reservations?
They do not need to make reservations. No, they can just go ahead and come at the door. And that's probably at this point would be the best way to go.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
While we're still in the mood, we should mention that we did a feature on the High Society Big Band last June when they played at Lake Robbins. Since we are featuring New Year's Eve events around the county, those in the western part of our listening area might be interested in the one at Lake Robbins near Woodward. This is the description from their website. New Year's Eve, Thursday, December 31st, 2015, Al Welsh Orchestra, 9-piece big band. Doors open 7 p.m. to, and I think it's indefinite, as long as everybody's having a good time. Dance from 8:30 to 12:30. A ticket price includes everything but drinks at the bar. 7 p.m. until the sandwiches run out, they will be serving soup and sandwiches. Rest of the evening, hors d'oeuvres in the ticket price includes hats, horns, a photo, champagne toast, memento, and a guaranteed midnight kiss. And for those who really are having a good time and stick around for a long time, a continental breakfast. Lots of fun. The Lake Robbins Ballroom is in the middle of a cornfield and might be hard to find at night if you've never been there. But the directions and ticket information are on their website, www.LakeRobbins, that's LakeRobbins.com. We'll be right back.
Since we're talking about Lake Robbins, this is a perfect time to call Gina McAndrews, who has been dancing there for a long time, so she knows a great deal about the place and the people.
20 years, I believe. I got to know Kip, who was there when she was in her teen years. She started in 1931, and Kip worked there for many decades collecting tickets. I even got a ticket signed by her that I still have, which is kind of fun. But it's a beautiful place out in literally in the middle of a cornfield. There used to be a lake there way back in the day, but it's a wonderful place, huge dance floor right in the center of the building. And then there's tables and chairs surrounding a really nice family atmosphere as well. Kids are welcome to have food as well. But a huge dance floor, really nice, smooth, and it's not really loud. It's just a really nice atmosphere. You can sit and talk to people and then go dancing. People are really friendly. They tend to be a lot of people there. They give dance lessons for different, you know, for ballroom or for salsa or country line dancing, different things on different nights. And it's just been a wonderful place to go over the years with just a group of friends of various ages. And you can meet other people there because everybody's just real friendly and fun. And it's just been a wonderful place. They have ballroom dancing. They have country bands, a little bit of rock from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. Sometimes they'll have theme nights where people dress up from the 50s and 60s or something like that. And just a really nice, good dance floor where you can really have your space and not be crowded, usually, anyway.
No, I think that you'd have to have a pretty huge crowd in order to for people to feel crowded. In fact, I think they were saying that if there were over 100, they would give a discount. So because I can't remember the details on that.
I think they've been having a little more challenging time with the COVID and not being able to have as many events. And so I think if they have at least 100, they tend to be able to at least break even and pay the bands and that sort of thing. And as well as a lot of places, they're having help, you know, having trouble getting some help that, you know, to help only on the nights that they're open and that sort of thing. So they always ask for patience for ordering food, but they do have, you know, good burgers and French fries and that sort of thing. And then, you know, a couple full bars where you can get about anything you can think of. But yeah, it looks like they're going to be open for New Year's Eve as well.
Oh, yes, they have their, if you go to their website, which is www.lakerobbins.com, you can see what the band is and what the hours are and so forth. And we'll be playing a little earlier, some recorded interviews we have with Lynn Wilkinson, who is the owner and has been really, really struggling to keep it alive for years. And that's about all I can say. I'm going to turn it over to the archives.
Yeah, and it's a really nice location. It's just a mile or so off of Highway 41. It does have a Woodward address, but it's just right off of 141 west of, you know, west of Des Moines and east of Perry and just south of Madrid and Boone and Ames, kind of in there. But it's a really fun place, and it's really reasonable prices, and it's just a place you can sure go with, you know, all ages, and just have an enjoyable evening.
Well, you said it's centrally located. I think that's right, but I came in broad daylight, and we had trouble finding it. Paul Wilson and I had trouble finding it, and I think probably that anyone who comes on New Year's Eve and hasn't ever been there might have a little trouble. Do you know why it's located where it is?
I used to know, but I kind of forget.
Well, the reason is that in the days before there were highways, there were a lot of trains. In fact, I think Iowa had more train tracks than any other state. And they particularly had the interurban, and there was an interurban from Fort Dodge to Des Moines, and this was a stop on the interurban. So you could, you know, come down from Fort Dodge or come up from Des Moines and get off at the stop for Great Lake Robbins.
Ah.
And then when the evening was over, you could take the train back. And
too bad that train still isn't there.
Well, yeah, there was another one that connected Ames to Des Moines, and we often used to wish that we had the interurban back. But that's one of the things that we've lost with progress.
Well, the way Des Moines is going, that might be the interurban here before long.
Yeah.
Between Grimes and Waukee and all the building going out that way.
Yeah, well, but I think Lake Robbins is always going to be out in the cornfields.
Well, it sure is a special place, and it has special people that run it, and I'm sure grateful that they're able to continue to make it. And, I mean, there's not too many places with that size of dance floor and, you know, that nice environment, and that are able to have an orchestra too. They have orchestras and really good bands, and there aren't too many of those around anymore.
Thanks so much, Gina, for adding to our New Year's program. I hope you're going to have your New Year's with your parents out in Colorado, is that right?
Yes, yep.
Okay.
So we probably won't be out partying too hard.
Okay. Well, see you in 2022. Okay, well, thanks a lot.
Happy New Year. All right, bye-bye.
Coming back to Ames, I stopped by the Mucky Duck to check with Marcus Johnson, the proprietor, to see if he was going to have a ball drop this year and how his past ball drops have gone. So here he is.
I understood this is supposed to be the beginning of a tradition. Do you think you're going to do it again?
Yeah, we're doing something this year. It's kind of got left to the last minute, but I definitely am very enthusiastic to keep up this tradition and grow it, in fact. So I want it to get a little bit better each year, a little bit more, shall we say, spectacular, maybe? That's the right word.
I plan to play what you said last year about what was going to happen. No, you don't want me to?
No, of course. Go ahead. I just, please, go ahead.
Well, then I was thinking, though, that you could pick up and tell us what happened. It sounded like it could go wrong two or three different ways, but apparently,
right.
Did you feel it was a success?
I think so. Yeah, very much.
Okay, so then pick it up and describe what actually happened.
Yeah,
you've actually done this more than once.
Yeah, we did it twice, and I don't remember if we did it last year or not. We might have not.
So, would you have actually done this several times? So it is a tradition.
Well, yeah, it's a two-time tradition and growing, yes.
Yes. What it sounded like it could have broken in very unpleasant ways. Now, did it fall down and not make a big mess? What actually happened?
Well, it made a little bit of a mess, but nothing too serious, and nobody got hurt, and I didn't get sued, and the police didn't get called, and nothing, fire department didn't get called, and so I consider it to be a success. So yeah.
Well, one of the things that we discussed was that the ball that drops in Times Square is still attached to the cable, so it doesn't break all over the ground.
Yeah.
But you said you were going to drop yours for real.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what's the point of having a dropping ball that's still attached to a cable? It just adds to the whole ridiculousness of that New York so-called spectacle.
Okay.
It's so dramatic, but really, I just can't get excited about it.
But are you excited about the one that you're going to be dropping on New Year's Eve?
Yeah. Well, so we're still finalizing the details of it, and I kind of left it a little bit to the last minute this year. But I'm going at a slightly different angle, which is a little bit of a clue, but not too much. It'll be a little different this year, but I'm not going to say too much because I don't want to give it away.
So you'll be having then probably a pretty big crowd out there to see this ball drop.
Well, I haven't really advertised it much. In fact, we have not done anything to promote New Year's Eve at this point. We are having a New Year's Eve party, but we have done absolutely nothing to promote it yet. Zero, in fact. And I'm just talking to my bar manager today about how much champagne we wanted to get for the New Year's Eve, and we really don't have much idea because we don't know if anyone's going to come or not. But you know, that's fine. We kind of do our own thing, and people will come because they like to, and we don't necessarily want there to be too many people there, so it'll just be probably the same crowd as always, because there are loyal customers, and that's just fine with me. So,
well, we've been to Mucky Duck since the pandemic, and we don't go very many places, and we haven't been there as often as we otherwise would. But your crowds have been pretty consistently good, haven't they?
They have, yeah, they have. Yeah, we did very well in the summer with the patio open. That's been quite good, and even now in the fall, we've maintained busyness, and so it's good. The COVID sort of measures have kind of fallen by the wayside, but it's just too difficult to fight that battle all the time, and we just gotta move on.
Of course, for the ball drop, this will be outside.
Yes, this will be outside. Yeah. But it's only a brief, moment. The rest of the night is certainly going to be inside, and we will step outside for 15 minutes to watch the ball.
Yes,
Of
course, it's cold enough that you wouldn't want to stay out a whole lot longer than that.
No, well, who knows? I mean, it might, what temperature will it be on New Year's Eve?
Oh, that's right. yes.
I was singing carols outside for our Christmas party a week or so ago in a T-shirt. So, it might still be T-shirt weather. But I suspect it might be a bit cooler.
Thank you so much. And do you have anything else you'd like to add since you have the mic?
No, just Happy New Year, everybody. And if you want to come and help us celebrate the new year at the Mucky Duck, we will be doing something spectacular here, and then lots of regular non-spectacular things. And you know, it's not the probably the liveliest place to be on a New Year's Eve, but it's all pretty damn good fun. Nice crowd, good people. I can't think of anywhere else I would rather be. Just good, honest, nice people, and that's important to be with your friends and good people on this very, very important evening.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Take care. Have a good night.
Bye.
Yeah. Bye.
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I've been your host, Susan Franzen, with recorded help from Paul Wearson and Gina McAndrews. Local Talk will not be rebroadcast. At noon, you can hear Capital Week, originally aired on Monday evening at 7 p.m. At 7 p.m. today, you can hear Moccasin Tracks. You can listen to today's Local Talk Show and any of our past Local Talk Shows online at our website, khoifm.org. There you will also find information about our guests, along with relevant links to today's stories. Local Talk was engineered by Susan Franzen. Our theme song is Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was played by High Society Big Band and Auld Lang Syne by Guy Lombardo. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! At the top of the hour. Morning Masterpieces will follow at 9 a.m. If you enjoy the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what makes KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and see you again on the radio.